Big news! This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which flight deals are actually deals and which are clickbait. They'll also tell you when to skip the bundle and book separately. Plus, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Frommer Travel Show. I'm your host, Pauline Frommer. Many travelers turn to loyalty points when they want to save money on travel. It's not a topic I discuss that often because, frankly, it scares me a little bit. It's such an involved, mysterious, complex, ever-changing world to my mind. And so I wanted to bring on one of the greatest experts there is in loyalty points. His name is Greg Davis Keen. He is the founder and owner of The Frequent Miler, which is a terrific blog and a podcast. He does that podcast in partnership with Nick Reyes. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Frommer Travel Show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So, as you heard, I'm a little scared of points and miles. I feel like it takes a certain sort of mindset or skill set to really make it work. Yeah. Am I just being a wuss or?
No, you're spot on. I think of miles and points as a game where if you play it right, the way it works is you accumulate lots of miles and points, and in some cases, elite status and other perks, and then you use those rewards to travel for free or to travel in much more style than you would have otherwise. So that's the game. But just like if you get a board game, you bring a board game home that you've never played before, you know how it's like completely overwhelming when you start?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is like that, but maybe times 10. There's no question. This is a really complicated game. And so the rewards are fantastic. Learning the game. So when you're first starting out, that can be tough. And I could totally see why a lot of people would decide, I'm just not even going to bother because it's too confusing. And yeah, I get that. It's
and
not
there
for
are
anybody.
Some, I mean, sometimes things can go wrong. If you get a credit card that gives you points, sometimes it has bad penalties if you don't pay on time. So you have to be the type of person who keeps things in order and pays their bills on time, right?
100%. Yeah, that's so important, especially in the U.S. credit card market. There are fantastic rewards to be had by signing up for new credit cards to get the welcome bonuses, by spending. So a lot of cards have great category bonuses where if you spend at a grocery store, gas station, or whatever, you get 3x, 4x, 5x the number of points. There are cards that give you 2 points per dollar everywhere, you know, and so all those things make for a lot of opportunities to earn points, but there's also a lot of danger because, as you said, if you don't pay your credit card bill in full every month, you're going to end up giving rewards to the bank instead of collecting rewards from the bank. So that's a bad strategy if you do that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take it as a given that you are the type of person who pays off their bills on time and so will not be in that kind of jeopardy. What are the basic things that a person needs to know before they get started on this? Is it that credit cards are better for getting points than flying and staying in hotels?
Yep, that's exactly right. So, you know, a lot of people, when they hear about what I do, their first thing is like, oh, I'm not maximizing my travel for earning points. And I always tell people, that's fine. Because for the most part, the points you can earn from flying, from hotels and from staying at hotels and things is good. I mean, collect those points when you can. There's no harm in collecting those points, but that can be just a tiny drop in the bucket compared to what's possible to earn through credit cards and online shopping portals. There are portals where you can do the same online shopping you'd be doing anyway, and maybe earn an extra, let's say, 10 points per dollar on top of whatever you're getting from your credit card. And so you can earn quite a bit that way as well.
Can before we leave that, which online shopping portals?
Well, so the best one, there's a number of different ones, but when you get into points and miles, one of the things you're going to learn is that there's a type that not all points are created equally. They vary greatly in value. And the best points are points from banks that are transferable to multiple different airline and hotel programs. And that way, when it's time to use your points, you're not locked into a single program. You can say, oh, I see that Air France has a great deal, so I'm gonna transfer my points to Air France and book that flight, for example. And so that was a roundabout way of saying my favorite portal is a portal called Rakuten. And the reason I love it is because it gives you the choice. If you want to earn cash back, great, you could do that. Or if you have an American Express card that earns American Express membership rewards points, which are transferable to airline and hotel programs, then you can choose to earn your portal rewards as American Express membership rewards points. And then that way you have the potential of getting a lot more value than you would if the rewards were in cash.
Wow. Okay. So is Rakuten like Amazon? Does it sell all the same panoply of goods?
Or so Rakuten is not a online store. It's what we call a shopping portal, which means depending on where you want to shop online, you see if that merchant is available on the Rakuten website. Just take, you know, Macy's.com, for example. You see Macy's is on there, and it'll tell you what return you'll get by clicking through from Rakuten to Macy's.com and buying something there. So the prices will be the same. You could usually use whatever coupons or discounts you're entitled to at Macy's.com, but you'll also earn whatever the portal's offering. And it'll be usually represented as, let's say you're just getting cash back. It'll say get an extra 5% cash back or 10% cash back when you shop at Macy's. And so you just start there, click through, buy whatever you were going to buy anyway, earn those extra rewards.
Very interesting. So you join Rakuten and you have to put in the card that you want to be getting the points on. So your American Express card or?
Oh, right. Only if you choose to earn points instead of cash back. If you want to earn cash back, you don't have to give it any credit card information. If you want to earn membership rewards points, which are American Express points, then yes, you have to give it. I can't remember exactly how it works. Somehow you have to link it to your American Express account so that it knows, for one, that you actually have an account like that, but also so that when the rewards are ready to be delivered to you, they have a way of doing that. They just do it seamlessly on the back end once you've linked those accounts together.
So talking about linking, my husband has a Marriott rewards, and he travels a good amount for conferences and the like. And so every once in a while, we'll get a free Marriott night. Do we have to link that Marriott account to the Rakuten and to the card? Or do we just know that we have points that we will be able to use anywhere because of Rakuten?
There's no linking needed at all. Those are two completely separate things. You could, if you wanted to stay, you know, more nights at a Marriott than what your free night offers you, then you could transfer your American Express points to Marriott and book your Marriott stay that way. I'm going to say, though, that as I said before, not all points are created equal.
Sure.
In general, hotel points aren't worth as much as airline points.
Well, that was my next question for you. So I'm glad you segued into that. Why is that?
Because it tends to be that when you use points, when you use Marriott points to book a Marriott stay, or you use IHG points or Hilton points to book those stays, the value you get is compared to what the cash rate is of the hotel night, gives you less than usually, not always, but usually less than a penny per point value. And so if you're spending your bank points, your Amex points, by transferring to these programs and getting less than a penny per point value, you would have been better off getting cash back in the first place.
Huh. Interesting.
That makes sense.
How do you know what the point value is for these different airlines, for these different hotel chains?
Well, so the best way is when you're ready to actually book a flight or a hotel stay, before you transfer any points to the program to book it, just do the math comparing if the point price is, let's say, 20,000 points, you can kind of just move the decimal place over two zeros. And so say that's like, if I was paying pennies instead of points, then 20,000 points is like $200. So if the hotel stay, let's say hotel stay, you could either book it for $400 cash or 20,000 points, then you could say, wow, that's a good deal, because I'd be getting 2 cents per point value from my points. But often with hotels, it's the other way around, where the hotel stay, you know, might cost you 20,000 points, but the cash rate might be $150. And then you realize, oh, I'm getting less than 1 cent per point value. So that's not a good deal. So in those cases, I wouldn't recommend transferring your points.
Are there certain hotel chains or airlines that tend to give better value per point?
Yeah, great question. With hotel chains, it's very clear. Hyatt. Hyatt just...
We're doing the wrong thing. That's... Damn.
Hyatt points are usually worth closer to 2 cents per point or more than the other end. And now you can't... not all transferable points transfer to Hyatt though. So you only have Chase's Ultimate Rewards points that transfer to Hyatt, and a program called Bilt Rewards. Those are the only programs that will transfer one-to-one to Hyatt.
Not the American Express we were talking about before.
Not American Express.
Damn, this is the most complicated board game.
It's definitely a complicated board game, but I'll tell you, the rewards are really incredible. I mean, and you know, if you take Hyatt as an example, you might be looking at staying in Paris, let's say. And if you look at Marriott, you might see, well, a night in Paris costs 100,000 Marriott points per night. I'm just, you know, kind of making up rough examples. And the cash rates might be, you know, $1,000 or more, depending on when you're going, right? And but Hyatt, you're probably looking at anywhere from 25,000 to 45,000 points for that same, for a similar hotel. Okay. or even nicer. Like,
so a quarter to half as much.
Yeah. And their top end hotels top out at 45,000 points. So you have things like the Park Hyatt Vendome in Paris, that often the base room rate is over $2,000 a night, but you can get it when the base room is available for 45,000 Hyatt points per night, which is an incredible deal.
So do you plan the vacation on when the base rate will be available, or do you simply shuffle the hotels? I mean, here's another reason why I'm scared of points. I do feel like it really starts to control you and how you travel in a way that can feel locked in.
It can. It depends how you approach it. So the way I personally approach it is, I'm usually basing my travel on what I want to do and where I want to go. And then I just look, are there good opportunities to use my points in that city and for those dates. If there's not, great, I'll just find whatever the best cash rate is for a stay that I want to stay at. I'm not going to change my whole schedule for that stay. But there are exceptions to that. So for example, Hilton. So while Hilton points aren't that valuable, they have free night certificates that you can get from their credit cards, which can work at any hotel in the world, any Hilton hotel in the world. And they're also teamed up with small luxury hotels of the world. And you can use those at most small luxury hotels in the world. And in those cases, you could be looking at, well, all right, so my wife and I just used five of them for a great stay in Lake Como at a small luxury hotel that would have been thousands of dollars a night. And in those cases, I think it does make sense. You're planning a big blowout vacation. If you have some flexibility in timing, look for when those base rooms are available so you can book them and you stay for free and then, you know, book the rest of your trip around that.
Very interesting. So as we discussed or alluded to in the beginning, this is a world that's always changing. And one of the biggest changes recently was the partnership of JetBlue and United. And it's not a formal partnership, as it's not a merger, but there will be some effects on the travel experience. Will there be points changes because of this partnership?
Yeah, I mean, nothing groundbreaking, I don't think, but it'll give people who have JetBlue points more opportunity to use them for a broader range of experiences because you'd be able to book some, not all United flights. It'll depend on when United opens up their flights for partner award bookings, which is not something. So in general, most airlines do this. If you have airline points with a particular airline, usually you can use those points to fly on that same airline anytime you want. It's just that they're going to charge more points for the, you know, for high demand flights. But they also release some number of seats on the less high demand flights for partner award bookings, which means they're partners with Air Canada, for example. And if you have Air Canada points, when United releases award space to partners, you can use your Air Canada miles to book those United flights. And so the same thing will happen with JetBlue. They might, because their partnership might be closer than that with Air Canada, it's possible they'll release more award space to JetBlue than they do to other partners, but that remains to be seen.
Right. And will you actually be able to see it? Because this stuff all happens in the background. It's not like they announce we're going to be giving more awards points to Air Canada, right?
That's right. That's right. No, it'll be one of those things. The only way to tell would be to do an award search on both Air Canada's site and JetBlue's site to see, are there cases where JetBlue sees United flights and Air Canada does not? And then you would know that that's happening.
Oh boy, wow. Okay. Before I let you go, airport lounges. A lot of these programs give you access to those. We recently wrote an article in at Fromers.com about whether or not airport lounges are kind of a scam. You go to those in the US and they're crowded. You have to wait to get in. I just was at the one at SFO for Delta. The food was awful and they have really good food at SFO Airport. My husband insisted on going to the lounge and I kind of wished we had just, you know, eaten at one of the nice little places at SFO. What is the relationship? How much stock should you take in the airport lounges? Are they do you have the same feeling that I do that their time is in the past, or is that really just the American ones versus those abroad?
I don't have that same sense, and I don't even think it's all American lounges that are a problem. You tend to see that overcrowding mostly in the big city airports, New York City airports, San Francisco, LA, and to smaller extent, some other airports that are hubs for a particular airline. You might see those hub lounges overcrowded. But even that tends to vary based on when you tend to travel. If you're traveling at a very busy time, yes, you're going to often face overcrowding. If you tend to travel midweek a lot and at times that, you know, business travels aren't flying, then I don't think you're going to encounter that same issue. So as to whether they're worth it or not really depends on your personal travel style and everything. I personally love that I can go. I'm located near the Detroit airport, and that's a big Delta hub. I love that I can just count on going to the Sky Club, finding a place to, you know, sit and do work if I want to. And the food might not always be, it's not always going to be great food, but in my experience, it's usually good, like not great, but good. And, you know, I appreciate being able to just dart into a club,
sure,
grab lunch, breakfast, dinner, whatever it is, and not have to wait in line at to get into a restaurant and then wait for service and all of that stuff. So I think it just largely depends on what your travel style is and what you appreciate about lounges. And it's also the case that there are a lot of opportunities in the US to get lounge access through credit cards. And it may be the case that depending on what kind of lounge access you want, you might value other things about these premium credit cards that make them worth getting, even if you don't consider the value of the lounge access. So you could think of the lounge access as like a free perk on top of that. And it just depends because there are so many different cards, so many different variations of lounge access that we could easily do a whole show just on that. And sure, we wouldn't even have time to cover it.
And some of the lounges in Asia are pretty spectacular.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another thing to know is that if you do get into this points and miles game, one of the things that happens is it suddenly becomes affordable when you're flying internationally to book business class, lie flat business class instead of economy. And when you book business class, you automatically get into whatever airport lounges, whatever the airline that you're flying, whatever lounge they have available for their passengers. And so you don't even need to pay in advance for lounge access in general if that's how you're going to start flying internationally.
Interesting. Okay. So back to the very start of the conversation, do you have a place on your blog or in your podcasts for rank beginners like me?
We do. So on the blog, there's a start here page. And so if you want to, you know, just see where to begin, go to the start here page, and that will show you the basics. And there will also be a link in there. We did a whole long podcast episode that was just about getting started as well. So you can find the link to our Getting Started podcast on our start here page as well.
Well, that's good. Yes. Level one of the board game.
Yes.
And as a beginner, how likely is it that you're going to be getting a business class flight?
As a beginner, it just depends how quickly you want to dive into this. I want to say it's not hard, but I guess I would, let me say it this way. You're probably not going to get one as your first use of points and miles as you began. I think about a board game again, how like when you first play, the first round or two is usually intentionally, you're not trying to win. You're just trying to understand what's going on, right? And that's what I think beginners should do just start collecting points. You probably won't collect them in the most optimal way, but that's okay. You're going to make some mistakes, and that's how you learn, is from making mistakes. And same thing about using your points. You're going to make some mistakes in terms of like, oh, you know, maybe that wasn't the best way to use your points, but that's fine. You learn, and then you start to see what other people are doing because you get more interested in it. And then you say, oh, wow, next time I could use those same points instead of using my Air France flying blue points that I got from American Express to fly on Air France, I can actually use those to book Delta flights. And for far fewer points than Delta would charge for those same flights. And that kind of thing starts to seep in where it sounds kind of bizarre at first. It becomes more and more ingrained and then you become better and better at it until it becomes second nature to, after you've been doing it a number of years, flying to Europe in business class becomes the norm because finding award prices, award prices started around 45,000 points one way for business class to 60,000 points to, you know, maybe 90,000 points, but they tend to be in that range when you can find those awards that are available to partners that I was talking about before.
Right. Thank you so much, Greg. This has been an education. I've really enjoyed it.
Thanks. I've enjoyed talking to you.
And we are buttoning up another Fromer Travel Show. I thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed what you heard today or last week or the week before, would you please let your friends know about the show? Would you please give us a good rating wherever you listen to the podcast? And always visit us on Fromers. Google has instituted a new policy. They're trying to give folks more targeted searches. And so they're asking people to put in what websites they like best. And so, though I hate to be spending time here advertising Google, if you like what you see on Fromers.com, if you like this podcast, we would be so grateful if you would put us in the preferred website section for your Google searches. Isn't that a strange new thing? Anyway, thanks again for listening. And to those who are traveling, may I wish you a hearty bon voyage. I
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.